I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a former midwife who left the system, and I'm now the proud founder of Sacred Birth International, a woman-owned company with a mission to revolutionize the birth world and bring focus to the sacred and the natural intelligence of the birth process. We do this by providing world-class education, courses, programs, and coaching to equip women with the knowledge and the tools to have conscious pregnancies, empowering and positive birth experiences, and the most nourishing start possible for themselves and their babies postpartum. We also educate and mentor aspiring birth workers into sacred space holders and physiological birth advocates in the Sacred Birth Worker Mentorship, the Beyond a Doula Training. If you'd like to work with me or take any of our courses, programs, or the mentorship, then head on over to sacredbirthinternational.com to find out more. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Natalie. Natalie is a mama of one from the UK, now living in Thailand. She's an artist and a property developer and a lover of meditation and alternative health and living a unique, authentic life. Natalie found out she was pregnant whilst on a snowboard season in Japan and was initially absolutely terrified at the thought of birth. She made it her mission to feel confident and calm about her birth by the time her baby arrived. And instead of fear of birth, she had then a fear of birthing in the hospital and being interfered with. So she chose a home birth with midwives and a doula. And her story is a fast and furious birth with a plot twist. And even though her birth wasn't the undisturbed birth she might have wanted, she was so present and trusting in her body and her intuition and managed to birth her baby in just over 5 hours at home in the pool. She caught her baby herself and absolutely loved telling her birth story. Hi, Natalie, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Anna. How are you?
Brilliant. Very envious of you in Thailand right now. Here, you know, it's another day of very wintry landscape. New snow has fallen. I'm a little bit over it now, I can tell you that. You know, we had a taste of spring a few days ago and I was like, oh yeah. And then here's winter again. And yeah, I could definitely do with a Thailand trip.
I arrived only a week ago, actually. So I came from the UK, so I was definitely ready to leave the UK winter behind.
Oh, yes. Then you truly know. Oh, what a bliss to be there, though. But you did not birth in Thailand. You birthed in the UK, and that's where we're going to set the scene today. So with no further ado, do you want to take us back to becoming pregnant and your journey towards having a home birth?
Yes, I'd love to. I love telling my story, so I'd love to. So I will start off, actually, I found out I was pregnant on Christmas Day in Japan, actually. And yeah, me and my partner were doing a snowboard season in Japan, and we were not planning to have a baby. So it was quite a surprise. And immediately I felt terrified about birth, if I'm honest. It was like this, it just hit me like, oh my gosh, I'm absolutely terrified of birth. So I just reached out to all the people who I just knew would give me great books and things to learn about and read. And I got recommended the Spiritual Midwifery book, which everybody reads who are on this kind of wavelength. And I just loved reading all the stories of home births, basically. And yeah, so I was in Japan for the first part of the birth. And then I came to Thailand for 6 weeks with my partner. And I really knew that I wanted to be as relaxed and happy as possible throughout my pregnancy, because I just knew that would really help the baby, really help the birth. So I just blissed out as much as possible, massages, yoga classes, laying in a hammock, you know, I was just in full pamper mode.
Wow.
During pregnancy in Thailand, by the way.
That's very luxurious to have that kind of pregnancy. What do you do for work or for a living that makes you being able to do that?
Well, I'm a couple of things. So I'm an artist and have an Etsy store, but also me and my mum do property investment. So it just allows me to sort of take chunks of time out, which is really nice.
Amazing.
So yeah, I took some time out and I just basically wanted to feel as good as possible. And then came back to the UK and started going into that more nesting phase. And, you know, I knew I wanted a home birth, like absolutely knew I wanted a home birth. And the more I read about birth and learned about birth, the more terrified I was of a hospital birth. I was so scared of ending up in hospital. I was so scared of even having like maybe the midwives on the NHS, because you don't know what midwives you're going to get. I was terrified, what if I've got midwives that don't understand what I want and are trying to push me into things? And so I went from feeling very scared about the birth to then just doing so much inner work on my fears and reading all the positive birth stories that I felt really, really confident about the birth. I felt nervous, don't get me wrong, which I think is quite natural.
Yes.
I didn't get rid of all of that completely, but I felt just complete trusting that my body knew exactly what to do if I just got my head out of the way and just let. I think I actually even heard it on your podcast once, because your podcast was one of the places that I would come and listen to so many birth stories, which really, really helped. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thank you so much. It really helped. And I think, I can't remember if it was on your podcast or someone said, like, literally your body could be in a coma and still give birth. And I loved that. I was like, yeah, literally, I just need to get my head out of the way. Mm. And controlling things out of the way, and then my body will do the work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really did get to that place. But my big fear, well, I had two, if I'm honest. One was any medical practitioners that came in, what would they do? Would they try and force, I don't know, examinations on me? Would they try and tell me when to push? Would they, you know,
interrupt your process? Yeah,
just interrupt me, basically. And my second fear, which is quite a unique one, but I used to, well, I've had it quite a few times where I have seizures when I'm in extreme pain.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was a big one for me to overcome. So I did loads of meditation work, I did loads of work with my doula as well. So we hired a doula. It was amazing. And we would talk about it with her. And we made like a backup plan if that did happen, you know, if I did have a seizure, because it could have happened. But I also just kind of knew it wouldn't. So I trusted that. I thought, no, it's not going to happen when I'm giving birth. So yeah, that's how I felt before the birth, basically.
I love that. I mean, it's so clever to do that. That's what I do with my clients, to put strategies in place for what you fear and obviously talk about them and process them. But I love that you put that strategy in place, but also that you recognize that probably you wouldn't have one, because it's different. Like the pain you would feel in birth, yeah, is different pain. It's like, it's good pain.
Yeah.
It's the body,
yeah,
recognizes that pain as good somehow compared to pain from something pathological, really.
Exactly. And when it's happened in the past, it's always been a shock pain, like, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, I hurt myself and it's a shock, whereas I figured, well, I also realized there was a possibility my birth didn't have to hurt as well. And I was really lucky that my mum had really good birth. So I'd heard good birth stories. She didn't feel, well, she can't remember feeling pain on her two births. And they were really quick. So I was lucky that I had that to listen to.
Yeah.
And obviously I'd heard lots of stories that a lot of women don't feel pain. So I thought, okay, I'm open to that being a possibility as well. Not that that happened for me, but there's definitely that possibility it could have happened. So
it's a good thing to just have, I guess, as an option, like in all your scenarios in your head. Why not? Why not go like, could be one of those women, you know?
Yeah, or like, exactly.
You know, yeah. And I mean, a lot of that, I mean, there are some absolute freaks of nature that actually, I don't know, are blessed with some sort of like nerve endings that are not just there or something, like actually have cared for a woman who literally did not feel her contractions until pushing. She felt pushing. And it was only like 20 minutes of, you know, quote unquote pain. She was even induced and she did not feel the pain of the contraction. You know, but that's the only one ever that I've had, you know, that. So that's very rare, right? That's super rarity, like freak of nature in a good way, I guess, maybe. And then, of course, some women have parts of it or can, you know, and that's all about what I believe truly is reframing it in your mind and really working with the power of the mind and suggestion and visualization and leaning into the pain, you know, meeting it from the standpoint of like, I'm leaning into surrendering into pleasure kind of opposite and just bringing in a lot of the pleasure elements into the birth. So,
yes.
And still, you can do all of that and still have a birth that you would definitely not call pain-free. So,
no.
That's just...
Yeah, I feel like I did a lot of preparation, yet I also, I mean, I'm Libra, so maybe it's just a balanced, I love to be balanced, but at the same time, I tried to not overanalyze, over-prepare, over-read, over-do courses. You know, I wanted to learn it all, but then at the same time, be quite surrendered to, okay, none of this might happen. Like, I might end up in hospital and, you know, just... I'm just going to let what's meant to be, because I knew if I tried to, you know, really create my perfect birth and it had to be this way, it wouldn't be in flow. So
And then you might actually get the opposite if you're really rigid around it. It is that magical thing about optimizing your chances with knowledge and preparation, and then as soon as you go into labor, you have to surrender to that unknown mystery that can take you on a totally different path than your desired path. And it's such a huge letting go.
I really love learning about birth though, like, and I still do, like, even now I love your Instagram page all the time. I'm like, I just love birth as a topic, you know. I think when you've been through that whole process and had a, you know, the experience of learning about it all beforehand, it just, it's an interesting topic, as you know. Mm-hmm.
This is for all my mamas out there. Did you know I have a signature childbirth education course called the Natural Birth Course, which is designed to help assist you in optimizing your chances of having a natural, physiological, and sovereign birth of your baby? If you see childbirth as a rite of passage like me and not as a medical event, and you want to feel fully prepared physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually for your birth, then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Included is over 40 bite-sized video lessons with me, sharing all my knowledge about birth, your body, and your amazing womb. I share fear releases,
meditations, natural birth video playlists, checklists, and guides to optimize your physiology and for you to have a sovereign and empowering birth experience 24/7 from the comfort of your own home. There are different payment plans to suit everyone's wallet and needs, and you can find out all about it at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
All right, so you decided to go with the NHS and a doula?
Yep. So we had a doula and we bought a birth pool, and you know, luckily my partner immediately was on board, which was very great. I think we went for a scan at the hospital once, and within 10 seconds he said, "We are not having a birth at hospital." I was like, "Yes." I'm so glad to be on the same way. But yeah, one of the challenges was other friends and family, which I'm sure lots of people experience. Everyone's obviously, it's a very highly charged subject, I found, and it really offends people and upsets people. And it was honestly one of the hardest things for me was having conversations, not with all friends and family members, because some people just either don't care or they're on the same page, but people who are really the opposite, you know,
and want to convince you not to do it and that you're reckless and irresponsible. And
Or even if they're not trying to convince me, it's almost like they take offense almost that what I'm choosing to do is different to them. And yeah, so there's a lot of challenging conversations around that, because I'm quite non-confrontational with friends and things, and I don't necessarily want to argue. But at the same time, when someone's saying, well, you know, this person had this happen and this person had this happen, what would happen if they weren't at the hospital? And I'm like, hospital birth isn't the same as home birth. It just isn't. Like, those things might not have happened if you're at hospital.
Yeah.
And then the people that say, but it's only since modern medicine that, you know, the rates of death have gone down. And I'm thinking, but take out all the high-risk births and, you know, take into account hygiene and just general health and things like that.
Exactly.
Low-risk birth is, so much safer at home, was my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the big drop that we saw in maternal and infant mortality was because of the antibiotics.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the big one, the big really like draw. And then of course, like for those few moms and babies who have really life-threatening things happen and super, you know, it's, but still that percent is very, very, very small still. And that of course has dropped as we become more and more high tech for those few percentage, right? But for the rest, like, no, it's not true.
Yeah. So yeah, I felt really, really absolute that I was having a home birth as my first option. And so we created a loose birth plan, and I was very clear that I wanted just to basically be left alone. I wanted to be asked if there was going to be vaginal exams. I wanted to be asked to have offers of pain medication, like pain relief. I wanted to be just left alone, basically, unless I asked for help. And then the birth started and I went into labor. So I went into labor at 1 a.m. and woke my partner up and said, I think this is it. I think I'm going into labor now. I can feel it. And it started off like super gentle and, you know, just some gentle contractions. And then within 30 minutes, it was full blown active labor. Wow. So it literally went from 0 to 100 extremely quickly, which was not part of my boyfriend's plan, bless him. He thought he had all this time to like prepare things, but no. So it all happened very quickly. We called the doula and she said, you know, it's your first birth, probably going to take a long bit. Sorry, when the contractions were still gentle and far apart, we called her and she said, I'm going to go back to sleep for a bit. You've probably got a while yet. I'm just going to go back to sleep for an hour and then see how you're doing. And the midwives kind of said a similar thing, really. They said, we'll come back soon. And then, like I said, within 30 minutes, it was like really close contractions. So,
and they knew about your history, because this is curious, you know, if you know that your mother had quick births, it might not necessarily be your story, but it really might.
Yeah.
And that's why I always ask my clients, you know, about their maternal birthing history. You know, what,
yeah,
what does women in your lineage birth? Do they, yeah, have 3-day labors? Do they have 5-hour labors? Like, what kind of, you know, what is that, yeah, imprint? And yeah, so that's very curious.
Yeah, because I remember when, and our doula, by the way, was amazing. I will never say a bad word about her, but Harry's face when she said, "I'm going back to sleep," he was like, terrified. Like, what?
And you'd only been having contractions for 30 minutes when you called them.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they still felt quite, they were still, I can't remember how close together they were, but they were at the point where she had said, "Call me at this point, just to let me know." And then, yeah. Anyway, so my body just wanted to be in water, basically. So I got in the shower and there I stayed for 3-4 hours in the shower, which, yeah, was really nice. Just the, on my all fours, water on my back. And then I thought I could feel her head. This is after maybe a couple of hours. Or it must have been about an hour and a half, sorry. It must have been an hour and a half. I thought I could feel her head. And so Harry called the doula and the midwives again and said, you know, just to let you know, Natalie thinks she can feel the head. And then...
Does that mean that you put your fingers inside and felt?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like literally like that far away.
Only like one knuckle.
Yeah. So I was like, Harry, I can feel her head. And... So the midwife said, well, we're an hour away from being with you because we have to go to the hospital first. And the doula was also an hour, because they have to pick up the, they have to go to the hospital, pick up their equipment, because they bring, on the NHS, they bring like the full,
yeah,
resus equipment and everything with them. So, and the doula was also an hour away. This is what I mean. It happened so, so quickly. It just happened very quickly. And so the midwife said to Harry, well, really, if you want someone there with you, you need to call an ambulance. And at that point, bearing in mind, I almost was never going to have midwives there, just my doula. Mm. We'd had that conversation that maybe we wouldn't even call the midwives at all and just have the doula there. But at that moment, when I could feel her head and I could sense Harry was panicking how quickly it was all happening and that he was going to be on his own with me, I was like, that's fine, call an ambulance, you know. I wanted to have someone there in that moment. So an ambulance came. So we went from this nice relaxing setting to all of a sudden an ambulance coming. And luckily, I mean, honestly, the paramedics were... Probably the worst things you could say to someone giving birth is what they were saying. I mean, I don't know if they were super experienced with birth, bless them, but I can remember the female paramedic came in to the shower and she said, maybe you could try and be a bit quieter.
What?
And you, I know. Bearing in mind, like, I wasn't screaming. I was making really, like, deep guttural, like, I don't know what to call it, but...
involuntary noises that happens,
yeah,
at birth.
It really was. And it was like this rhythmic thing at my body, and it really was helping. The really loud noise was helping so much because it was kind of, it kind of like was vibrating my body, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like,
that's the amazing, like, natural design. I mean, I'm not laughing at you. I was like laughing in my head of just like how absurd our society is that,
yeah,
it's not common knowledge. Like, still to this day, I just find it so, well, first of all, terrible, of course, but also like just hilarious how like dumbfounded, like, yeah, most, even doctors and midwives sometimes are to the natural freaking birth process. Like,
yeah, yeah. And I mean, my I must have been literally looked at her like a savage because I was just like, I obviously didn't listen to her. I just carried on doing what I was doing. And at that, I, yeah, I just carried on doing what I was doing and ignored them. And luckily, the midwives and doula turned up 10 minutes later after the paramedics got there. So it was fine. And it went from being quite a stressful environment because Harry was running around, trying to set up the birth pool, you know, calling all these people, dealing with paramedics. And I'm in the shower still with like bright lights on. But very as soon as the doula arrived, she was just like, brought it all down. And she's like, right, lights out, everybody out. And then we entered a very relaxed state, you know, and then it just felt really completely different. All the, you know, emergency sense had gone and it was just...
Did they all leave, the paramedics, when the midwives arrived?
They did. And on the way out, the male paramedic said to me, good luck. This thing can take a long time and babies can be a pain in the ass. I'm not even joking. And I said, and the doula was like right next to me because she was putting pressure on my back. And I just like quietly said to the doula, like something like, get the F out my house. Like, I was so angry he said that to me. But in a joking, I said it in a joking way. You know, I wasn't actually angry. I just found it ridiculous what he said, basically.
But that's also, again, showing like the absolute lack of understanding of where you were at, like just not being able to read you at all. And it's, you know, we laugh now, but had I been, you know, your birth support, I would not have been.
My doula's face was like,
yeah, gosh.
She was like, you go, out you go.
But did they know the whole time, the paramedics, they knew the whole time they were only there until the midwives arrived? They never tried to bring you to the hospital or anything?
No. And they knew exactly. They knew they were only there if there was an emergency to take me to the hospital. Yeah. So no, they knew not to.
That is like, oh no.
I did miss an interesting part of the story though. When Harry was on the phone to 999, they were saying to her, okay, you need to get her out of the shower onto the bed on her back. And I was like, no. And he's like, no, sorry, she doesn't want to do that. And she's like, no, you need to get her out of the shower onto her back in bed. It's the safest place. And I'm like, I'm not moving from the shower. And then she said it again. I was like, I am not moving from the shower. But I'm so proud of myself for just knowing my body, like, in that moment, my body was ruling the roost. I wasn't going to listen to anybody, even though they're telling me, get in the bed. I'm like, I'm not listening to you. I know what to do.
Are you planning on becoming pregnant this year? Maybe you've already been trying for a while, or you're in the planning stages. Then the Conscious Conception Program might be for you. The Conscious Conception Program is for you who want to truly optimize your health and the future health of your baby. And prepare body, mind, heart, and soul to become the best mother you can be for your spirit baby. The program will be given over 12 weeks with bite-sized video lessons teaching you years of fertility and conception knowledge in an easily digestible way without the overwhelm. Each week you'll be introduced to a new easy practice or lifestyle change that you, together with a conscious conception sisterhood, can implement and finally make into your normal daily routine without the struggle of trying to do all the good things, all at once, and all by yourself. Each week you'll meet with me and the same group of women that will be doing these lifestyle changes and conscious conception preparations together. For 12 weeks, you'll get my undivided attention and expert advice at our live calls as you're introduced to new information and practices to take you closer to conceiving your spirit baby. There's lots that can be done on a physical level in optimizing egg quality and creating a fertile womb soil. But being as this is a conscious conception program, we go so much deeper than that. We dive into the mind, heart, and soul part too. With spiritual practices for fertility and conception, connection with your spirit baby, becoming the mother you want to be for your future child, meditation practices, womb awakening practices, mindfulness practices, and feminine embodiment practices, to name a few. If this program has sparked your curiosity, then head on over to sacredbirthinternational.com or click on the link in the bio to find out more. For this first round, starting on the 2nd of April, I'm offering this program at a heavy discount, only for this first round. So if you're planning to become pregnant this year and really want to optimize your chances, as well as prepare to be the mother you wish to be for your spirit baby, then this is your invitation. So when so I'm hearing that about 1.5 hours in or 2 hours in or something like that from the first contraction, you put your finger in, you can feel the head there. You call the ambulance. They arrive at some time after that. And then just about 10 minutes later is your midwife and doula. So maybe we're 3 hours in now or something. I also wonder just that act actually of you both, taking the decision to call the ambulance coming, if that maybe potentially actually held that baby in, had you not, I wonder.
It wasn't the baby's head.
Amniotic
fluid sac.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's just in front of the baby's head though, I guess. So you still.
The baby's head, the sac must have started to sag down. Mm-hmm. The baby's head was not anywhere near it. The baby's head actually, I was still only 5 centimeters dilated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And now I understand so basically, the midwife arrived. She said, look, it's just the amniotic fluid sac. Would you like me to tell you how far along you are? Like how many centimeters dilated you are? And I said, okay. That was such a mistake, finding out how far along. How many centimeters I was dilated.
Yeah, because it has nothing to do with how far along you are.
No, it doesn't. And mentally, because my doula had said before, she'd warned me of this. She said, sometimes mentally it can really mess with your head, the vaginal exams, because then you think, I can't do this. And when I went from thinking, I'm about to give birth this second, to then you're 5 centimeters dilated, for about 10 minutes, I lost my presence in my head, because I'd been super, even though all these things had been going on, I had been staying super present. My eyes were closed most of the time. I was really inwards and I was really actually in a great place, to then hearing, oh no, you're 5 centimeters. I'm like, what? And then I think I said, take me to the hospital. I'll have a cesarean. I can't do this anymore. And I kind of said it I didn't really mean it, and everyone's like, no, you don't, you're okay. And I'm like, okay, all right. And the doula said, it's only because you've just found that out, just get back into your presence again, which I did. And then, and then after that, it really was magical and beautiful. Like the lights were very, very dark. I was very, very present. It was very intense. Each contraction was intense, that's without a doubt. But I think just staying as present as possible helped me so much. And just getting into a rhythm with my breathing, knowing each breath I was going to do, how many moans I was going to do for each contraction. And in between the contractions, I did feel really amazing, actually, real amazing flood of chemicals and hormones in between each contraction. So I did feel that. And then my waters broke and I asked Harry if the birth pool was ready yet. It had taken a long time to fill because I had the shower on. The tap water pressure was really low, so it had taken a long time to fill. So it wasn't really full, but I said, I'm getting in. I want to get in there now. So the midwife said, oh, it's not ready for you yet. There's not enough water. And I was like, I don't care. I'm getting in. So I was very much of this mindset of I just didn't care what people said to me. I was doing exactly what I wanted to do. My body was ruling the whole thing. And then I was maybe in the birth pool for an hour before she was born. And yeah, this is the only time that the midwives, you know, gave some really gentle guidance. They, you know, they suggested, well, her head's right there, so if you feel the urge, you could push on the next contraction, and which was really nice. I honestly was so blessed beyond belief with the midwives I got. I really, really was grateful for that. They had both had home births. Mm. One of their daughter-in-laws was about to have a home birth. They totally got that I wanted to be left to do my thing, and that they would just help and just gently when needed, which is what they did. And Mia was born. There were no tears. She came out easily, I would say. I mean, it's obviously really intense, but she came out quite quickly, maybe 3 contractions. And yeah, I caught her. And then Harry cut her cord after quite a long time of just hanging out in the pool. And yeah, it was beautiful.
Mm. So all in all, how many hours are we talking?
It was just over 5 hours.
Mm.
Yeah.
Such a quick first birth for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a wild one, having all those people come and go. And...
I know. I know, it was. It was wild.
Wow.
But no, it was really beautiful. And yeah, I can remember I actually opened my eyes at the end. I was like, wow, I can actually look at everyone, because I hadn't even seen my midwife's faces. I was that inside myself with my eyes closed. I was just like completely in my own world. I hadn't even opened my eyes to like see my midwives, you know. So I opened my eyes at the end after she was born. I was like, wow, hello.
Amazing. Yeah. And so you're there in the pool and you cut the cord in the pool. So where do you birth your placenta?
So then I got into, after a while in the pool, me and my partner got into bed and they left us alone. Everyone just left us alone for an hour. And they said, because I asked for that as well, I'd said I wanted to have that time alone. And Mia started to breastfeed for the first time, which is really beautiful. And I could feel the placenta wasn't coming out. Like, oh my gosh, it made me realize, how do you give birth on your back? Because it just was not going to come out. Like, it just wasn't. I knew I needed gravity. So after that hour, the midwife said, do you want to come and sit on the toilet? And we'll put like a bowl in the toilet, which is what we did. So then the placenta came out in the bathroom. Yeah, she came in, she actually brought the placenta onto the bed and like pulled it all out and showed me like where the waters had broke and said how it looks like the tree of life. And so it's really beautiful that she did all that as well.
That's so lovely. Sounds like you had beautiful midwives. And yeah, birthing the placenta on the toilet is such a good trick.
Yeah. It honestly made me think, how does a baby come out? If it was that hard for a placenta, how would a baby come out led on my back? I don't even know. I could already feel the shape of my body just wouldn't let that happen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yes, not natural.
So no.
You wouldn't poo lying on your back either, would you?
No.
No, makes sense. Oh, wow. What a, you know, fascinating story. What a intense and event-filled birth you had.
It was, yeah. It was intense and it was also really, yeah, beautiful. The midwife said at the end, she said, that's one of the most beautiful births I've ever seen. So, which was really, I was like, really, are you just saying that to everyone? And she said, no, I'm not just saying that. That was amazing. She said, you really know your body and can feel your body. And yeah. She said that was memorable. I was like, oh, that's really special to hear as well. And we had a really magical first day with her. I will share one more drama that happened, not to scare people, but because this is my story, genuinely what happened. So we had a really beautiful first day, just me and Harry on our own with Mia, getting to know her. She was so tiny and cute. And then that night at about 10 o'clock at night, she had like trouble. She started to stop being able to breathe, basically. So we called 999 again, twice in one day. And we actually did go to the hospital. She did, after a few minutes, she must have just had some mucus or something stuck in her throat, because she did start, but by the time the paramedics were there, she was fine. But we just went to the hospital anyway. And we unfortunately spent the first night in the hospital, which was horrendous and actually really traumatic, because she was hooked up to a beeping machine all night. They wouldn't let her sleep in my bed next to me. And it was horrible. And yeah, I'm actually about to have some, I'm speaking to a lady who helps people with any form of birth trauma, and having a session with her, because I honestly feel like it traumatized me, because I thought my baby was about to die. It really was upsetting for me and Harry. So that happened too. But I am grateful that she actually was totally fine. She was totally healthy and fine, you know, and there was nothing wrong with her. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it was quite eventful with ambulances.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, you really had a 24 hours full of that, didn't you? If, you know, babies can be quite mucousy after birth, and most of the time it's, I would say 99.9% of the time it's fine. They will vomit that up, and that is why, like, them being on their back, they can turn their head and they can vomit it up. Or if you notice it, like picking them up and, you know, like holding them over the tummy so like their head is hanging out down, and, you know, that they can get that, you know, things up from their chest. It's the best advice I can give in that moment. That sounds really scary. That would be scary.
It was scary, but it doesn't take away from my birth for me. Like, it was amazing, and it was absolutely amazing birth.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing it. So if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
I would say to her, probably what I mentioned earlier is about the balance of being like knowing the intention of exactly what you want, and then surrendering and being like kind of loose and letting go and not too controlling. So learning lots and, you know, feeling empowered and reading the books and doing the courses and all of that, but not to go too extreme in a way with it where it's like, it has to be like this, or so finding that balance somewhere in between.
Good advice from a Libra. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your birth story.
You're welcome. Thank you for your amazing podcast that helped me so much.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please consider sharing it, leave a review, or make a contribution on our Patreon page. And if you want to connect on social media, then find the podcast on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Thank you for listening.